Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hi, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 796, and this is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, we have, of course, the whole Gamertag Radio crew. We'll start with Pete, man. What's going on, Pete?
Good evening, gentlemen, everyone on internet, podcast listening land. That was really awkward. What's up, dude?
Wow, that was very awkward. Are you okay over there, sir?
I am doing fine. It's been a really long day, but you know, hey, we're doing a show, episode 796, dude. Four more till we hit the big 800.
That's yeah, huge. That's crazy. 800 coming up soon, man. I gotta get somebody for 800. I don't know who. I gotta figure it out.
You got 2 weeks.
you should get Josh Hamrick from Bungie on here, because since he wants to doubt my stories on Twitter when I tell him that I was literally one second from clearing a tier 4 blind well, and he says I'm exaggerating. So get him on here so I can say it to his face.
And yes, guys, that's Paris in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, are we going to talk about the NVIDIA 2080 cards on this episode, or can I just say it now?
We can.
Okay. That's all I needed to hear. Well, guess what? I was right. I told all of y'all. Y'all need to listen to me when I tell you when my spidey sense starts tingling, you need to listen to me. Linus, Jay's Two Cents, PC Gamer, on and on, Digital Foundry, they're all saying don't buy those cards. And I told you, I freaking told you, they are way too expensive for the performance that you're getting. Go get a 1080 Ti like I got. That's what you should do. That's it. I just want to say that. I was right.
Can I ask you a question? Why they say it was not to buy it?
Because, okay, here's why. Because NVIDIA built these cards for the future for ray tracing. There aren't games that support ray tracing right now. Not well, anyways. It's going to take time. Honestly, you're really not going to see games take advantage of ray tracing until the next gen consoles in 2020. So these cards that are coming out right now in 2018, you're spending $800 for a 2080. You're spending $1,200 for a 2080 Ti. And when you look at the benchmarks compared to the 1080 series cards, they're not that drastic, not for the price performance. Like Jay's Two Cents brought up, you're getting a 30% performance increase from the 1080 Ti to the 2080 Ti, right? But a 70%, almost a 70% price increase to get that card. That's insane. Why would you do that? You know, I'm sticking with the card I got. And I knew something was up when NVIDIA wasn't really touting benchmarks and performance at that press conference. It was all about ray tracing. And then sure enough, when you got some of the top people in the quote unquote car, you know, graphics card industry, whatever you want to call it, PC parts industry, you know, people like Jay's Two Cents and Linus Tech Tips basically telling you, don't waste your money on this. Don't waste your money. Wait, go get a 1080 Ti on discount. That would be my advice if you're building a PC right now, or wait until 2020, like I'm gonna do when I build my new PC when Cyberpunk is out. And guess what? These 2080 cards are gonna be the old gen anyways. They'll be on to the next gen. They'll be the next family of cards, the 2180s or whatever the heck they're going to call them. So this, I don't understand why NVIDIA came out with these cards right now. AMD isn't competing, even with a 1080 Ti right now. There was no need to rush this out. They should have waited, in my opinion.
See, as a consumer in gaming, I think it's good to always wait. We always get excited and buy the products right away because of the hype. So that's good that you guys didn't purchase this at all, man, because I know you guys are like hardcore PC fanatics, you know, so that's good that you guys didn't make that move, man. Could imagine if you guys would have purchased this at home.
Oh, I'd be pissed. I'd be pretty pissed if I would have bought it. I knew not to buy it because I knew I wanted to just completely build a new rig when I do it, and there's nothing wrong with what I have right now. And like I said, I'm going to wait for Cyberpunk. Just like the machine I got now, I built because of The Witcher 3. Next one I'll build because of Cyberpunk, and then I'll get whatever the latest and greatest GPU is at that time. But this 2080 series, I will most likely skip altogether.
All right, so head over to GamerTagBreaker.com. You can post your comments and feedback. Also, share our content, our episodes to your friends and family. Also, you can check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so let's start off with this. Look, I'm rocking the PlayStation logo t-shirt here. This is the original PlayStation here. And during during Tokyo... Oh, God. Wait. Is it going to happen? No. It's not going to happen. But so right now, during Tokyo Game Show, PlayStation just announced the PlayStation Classic. PlayStation Classic, similar to the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic from Nintendo. Actually, I think Nintendo deserves some royalties because of that name, man. You know? But in this device, it's the PlayStation original version. A lot smaller. It's going to have 20 games. So far, they've only been announced only like 5 games. Final Fantasy, Wild Arms, Tekken, and a couple other ones. Now, this is going to... Oh, also, it comes with 2 controllers. This is going to cost $99. I just want to get your opinion about this because I have a lot of things to say about it. But go ahead, guys.
Going back to what I posted on our Discord server earlier today, I just don't see the need to keep rehashing and bludgeoning consumer wallets with get this classic, get this new device with these old games that you may already have in your possession and trying to rekindle that spirit from the past. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of that. I haven't picked up any of the NES classics. I'm not going to pick up the PlayStation Classic. I'm sure enough not going to get a Duke Classic if and when Microsoft decides they want to do that at a later date. So I am not a fan of these things.
All right. And you, Paris?
Yeah, it's like I tweeted earlier. Instead of these PlayStation Classics and NES Classics and all that, just get real backwards compatibility. That's all I really care about. You know, and let me say, be clear, not that I'm a big backwards compatibility person. I'm not. But if you're going to do it, do what Microsoft is doing. They're doing it the right way. Like I said, when this NES Classic came out, everyone was all excited for it. My kids probably played the thing for 2 weeks. I don't think it's been turned on since. I don't know. It's gimmicky. It's a money grab. I know there's that nostalgia thing that people will go grab it. But if PlayStation, and I've said this before, when PlayStation 5 comes out, at a minimum, PlayStation 4 games better be playable on it. And if they really want to compete in that arena, try and get back at least into the PlayStation 2, if not all the way back to the beginning with PlayStation 1. That's what I really want to see. This PlayStation Classic stuff, I have zero interest in it.
I know what you guys are saying, but again, I mentioned this during the NES Classic and the Super NES Classic. There's people that don't have the money to buy a new console. So you always got to think about them too, man. It's not about what we want. What about the other folks that doesn't have the $300?
I don't think this applies in this case.
But you asked what our opinion was on this specific thing. And I totally get that there is a subset of the market of people that like these type of things. Danny, I know you're one of them. I know you enjoy playing retro / classics, even though it could be 10, 20, 30 years from the past. I get that and I understand it, and I'm not trying to bash or knock any of them. I'm just saying, for me, I don't see the enjoyment or the benefit of buying it. I mean, Paris was the guinea pig for the Nintendo Classic 2 years ago for the NES Classic when he got it for his kids, and that thing's been collecting dust, you know, 3 weeks after Christmas.
Got up at 1 o'clock in the morning to get that damn thing.
He's still trying to recover from sleep.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. The NES Classic and the Super NES Classic has been outselling all the current consoles right now. even beating the Nintendo Switch.
Okay, but you're once arguing. Again, we're not arguing on, that, though. But we're not arguing that, though. You're saying it to us like we're saying that it doesn't make money. Of course it does.
I'm bringing it up because it's part of the conversation. I'm not totally against what you guys are saying. I'm just bringing it up that even though we probably not going to buy this or we don't agree with this and so on, there's going to be people that are going to be buying this. So that's why PlayStation is doing it. That's why Nintendo is always going to be doing it. Xbox, technically, they don't have to do this because they'd rather promote their current console instead of bringing back the original console. But here's one thing that I have to bring up because I'm kind of confused because originally I could have sworn one of the execs from PlayStation was totally against about, you know, releasing all these like old games from like the original PlayStation. And actually there was a quote and I'm trying to look for it. The original quote from him. This is from Jim Ryan, one of the execs from PlayStation. He said, "I was at a Gran Turismo event recently where they had PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, 3, and 4 games. And the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, they look ancient. Like, why would anybody play this?" That was last year, 2017. A year later, PlayStation decides to release a PlayStation 1 classic with 20 games. So they're going to release this, a PlayStation Classic now, man. So I don't know. I'm kind of confused with PlayStation right now. Kind of confused. Maybe they got to see the success with Nintendo Classic and Super NES Classic. Maybe that's why they changed their minds. But anything else you guys want to say about that?
I don't think there's any confusion at all. That's exactly what happened. They were like, Nintendo is making ham over fist with this thing. We trying to get on the money train too. So they did it. Bottom line, I mean, it's really that simple. Like I said,
now
I don't fault them for making money because there is a market for it. And of course, I'm just saying from my standpoint, I wish they didn't. I wish they would just do backwards compatibility. That's what I would want. I wish Nintendo would do it, you know, but they're not because no one is forcing them to do it. There isn't any pressure for them to do it. Like I said, I don't think Sony's going to see any real pressure to do it until PlayStation 5. I don't think they can go head to head with Microsoft, the next gen consoles, and say, yeah, you know, all those games that you bought on PlayStation 4, yeah, you can't play them on the next one. You better keep your PlayStation 4 or use PlayStation Now. Mm-hmm. No one's going to want to hear that. They're going to want to play God of War, Spider-Man, Last of Us 2, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, et cetera, et cetera, on the next console in 2 years, and they're not going to want to say, well, I got to keep my old PlayStation or I'm screwed. They don't want to hear that.
Nope. You know what? I'm going to keep it real, Paris. I think that if they release a brand new console and they don't have that, I think it will be fine. It will still sell. All the PlayStation fans are still going to buy that system. I don't see them getting mad about it at all. But they're not getting mad now. You don't think so?
Here's what I think. I think it opens up the door for Microsoft to get market share is what I think. I think if Microsoft, and we see a clear case that they're building up to 2020, everything that they're doing right now is that when 2020 hits, they're going to have a full list of IPs. They're going to have the new hardware. They're going to have the cloud streaming. They're going to have all these services, Game Pass, etc., ready to go November 2020. I think they could make a compelling argument to a consumer that's on the fence if they should go PlayStation 5 or Xbox at launch to lean Xbox. If then you throw in the fact, yeah, all those Xbox One games, 360 games, original Xbox games, you can play them on a new one too. Keep it going. And then PlayStation is like, well, no, you better keep your PlayStation 4 if you want to play those games. I think that could potentially upset a consumer that's on the fence. Yes, both of them are going to have hardcore fans that are going to get their system no matter what they say. Hell, we saw that with the launch of Xbox One. So I do think that it could potentially be an issue is what I'm saying. If they don't have some kind of backwards compatibility.
All right, let's go to the next topic. And this is about Red Dead Redemption 2. The game is coming out next month, but in November, there is going to be a Red Dead Online beta. And this is similar to when the last Gran Turismo game came out on the original consoles for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. They had the game came out for the only single player. People played it for like a couple weeks, and then they added online But this was called online. It wasn't like a beta or anything like that. And there was a lot of bugs, a lot of issues. People were pissed. It was a disaster when they launched. So by Rockstar adding this and calling it, of course, beta, I think they could get away with this. Like, look, we're just testing the servers. It's not 100%. But what are your thoughts about this, guys? Red Dead Redemption online beta that's coming out in November.
I think it's great. I think, you know, Rockstar has obviously seen all the success that they've had with GTA Online, and hell, Grand Theft Auto is still a top 10 game, and then it came out, what, in 2013 or something crazy like that? So, of course, they're going to replicate that with Red Dead. Not shocked at all. I think it's a very smart move that when Red Dead Online comes out in November, they're going to put the public beta tag on it. So when there are issues and they're saying it up front, they could troubleshoot it and they won't have people getting upset because they know it's a beta.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts, Pika? You were excited today when you were posting that on our Discord channel.
Oh, no, absolutely. Anything Red Dead Redemption related is going to cause a big stir, whether it's on social media, through gaming media, et cetera, and rightfully so. It's going to be the darling this holiday season. With the way Grand Theft Auto Online went last year, or when it launched in 2015, sorry, when it came out during its launch, it came out with a slew of issues. And so, you know, there's going to be a bunch of eyes from a network, from a server infrastructure perspective, trying to ensure that Rocksteady delivers Red Dead Redemption Online as a solid product and try to avoid what happened with its last release. So, you know, there's people looking at it in a positive light. There's people from the naysayer committee that are looking at it, you know, hoping that it fails so that they can come back and say, I told you so. It's going to do exactly the same. I'm hoping that Rocksteady has learned from their mistakes and we'll go from there. So,
all right. So let's go with the next topic here. Pete, PUBG might be coming later this year for the PlayStation 4. I know the last episode, Paris said they're in trouble. This could be an opportunity for them to help out, to get the name out there, PUBG for the PlayStation. Is it going to be enough? And do you think this is going to be the right move for PUBG, man?
Me personally, I think it was Paris had said this a while back. I may have just echoed his sentiments on this. I don't know if PUBG is officially dead, but I think Microsoft and Xbox need to do everything they can to retain this title as an exclusive for their platform. So what happened earlier today was something spotted by Eurogamer, a Korean ratings board slip up occurred, and it seems that potentially PUBG could be coming to the Sony PlayStation 4. It kind of times in perfectly. Xbox has finally got the 1.0 full release. The agreement was for Xbox to help them until they come out. People who have constantly asked Blue Hole and PUBG Corp, are you, and if you are, when are you coming to Sony? They said, well, right now our focus is getting the product out in a 1.0 status. They've officially done that. And at this point, it's a who knows. Some of the rumors are that because the launch came in place by, it was come out prior to December. It gives them time to get a possible December release because that's when the agreement technically supposedly ends. Wouldn't know until we actually see those contracts. But I don't know. In my personal opinion, I think it behooves Microsoft and Xbox to do everything in their power to retain PUBG. Even with all its issues and glitches and problems and decent concerns, they need to do that simply because they need to have reasons for their player base to come and play on Xbox. Yes, people can go and play it on PC, but as we've seen, there's a thriving community of players on Xbox. And if you want to keep those players who want to play PUBG, who don't care to play Fortnite, who don't care to play Islands of Nine, Ring of Elysium, or H1Z1, which they can't anyways because it's a Sony title, they want to play it there. I think it fits them. I think it makes the most sense for them to hold it.
And you, Paris?
Yeah, I know my opinion. Too little, too late.
Yeah. I think if this is going to happen, let's say in December, then I could see them announcing it during the PlayStation Experience and right there on the spot. And it's available now or available this week, something like that. Get everybody excited. And look, even if Microsoft tries to get them to sign this agreement, exclusive agreement, like, look, don't leave. Let's continue with Xbox. We'll support you. I think they're not going to do it. They're not gonna, the developers of this game are not going to do it because, yo, Blackout, Fortnite, there's too many games that now is available on multiple platforms and they're the only ones behind, man. I think they're not going to do that. They want this to be successful and release it on other platforms. That's what I think, man.
I agree.
The only advantage that they could have against Blackout is make the game cheap. The price point, $29.99, I guess, compared to a $59.99 game. That's the only thing that could help them, I think, to get people buy it.
Well, right now, that's the price it is on PC. Right? That's the going price for that. And it's funny because on the PC, we saw it with Overwatch as well. Was it a 30? I think it was $40 to buy it on PC, and everywhere else was full price $60. I don't think.
No, I think no console is $29.99 also.
Now, but not during launch.
During launch is $29.99, $30. Look it up. Yeah, look it up.
All right.
It was never $60. You crazy?
Okay.
Imagine playing $60 for that buggy game at first. Hell no.
For what? Overwatch?
No, talk about PUBG.
Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. So PUBG was, I guess, the same price on all platforms. Okay, so that makes sense. Regardless, I still think Microsoft needs to keep it. I know some people are against that. They think that, you know, they need to make some kind of cash recoup to make it worth their while. But I think it makes sense for Microsoft. If you want to continue offering exclusives, because exclusives are what drives people to specific platforms, you know, people go to Destiny. Yes, Destiny is cross-platform or multi-platform, but you've got those that exclusivity deal. People go there. They're going to gravitate to that platform that has the exclusivity for those reasons. You've got games like Spider-Man. That's the big talk of the town the last 2 weeks. That's the only place you're going to play it is on PlayStation. Why not do that for one of the biggest titles in your cachet, especially when you really don't have anything else other than maybe Forza Horizon 4 coming out this year.
Personally, I think they should save their money and work on something else. All right, YouTube Gaming is shutting down. Technically, not the whole YouTube; it's just the name YouTube Gaming. And now, instead of having it separate, now everything is in one platform still, YouTube, which originally I think personally they should have started like that at first, instead of having it like, okay, this is a different website on YouTube. It's also available on YouTube, but we also have YouTube Gaming. It's totally confusing, I think, man. But it's already shut down. And anybody that has their YouTube channel is still there, but now with the original name, YouTube. What are your thoughts about this? Do you think it was a waste of time having it as a YouTube Gaming division?
I think it was a good idea. It was worth trying. They obviously were looking to compete with Twitch and now even Mixer and, you know, things of that nature. Didn't work. And I think for the typical YouTube person, it just makes sense to put everything all under one banner instead of trying to separate it out. So, you know, they tried, didn't work. Now they're going back to what people want.
Well, Facebook is also called now Facebook Gaming.
Yeah.
And they hired a lot of people that was on Twitch and Mixer and other platforms. And now they're streaming it all on Facebook. Do you think they should also do the same? Because it looks like they're doing pretty good so far, man. Overall, Facebook, your thoughts?
I'm trying to find the right words because we obviously have friends that are over there and I wish them nothing but success, but I don't know how viable this is going to be long term for Facebook, because not because of them, not because Facebook is trying gaming, but just looking at where Facebook is headed, I'm not convinced Facebook is even going to be around in another 5 years. So, I mean, that's just me. But
5 years, Faris?
Yeah.
That's pushing
yeah.
it. I think that's pushing it.
Well,
why you say that?
Well,
why
if 5 years before MySpace went away, people would have said I was crazy then too, right?
But Paris, that's different, man.
No, it's not. Same thing.
Because MySpace wasn't really changing and changing. It was always the same. And people were, the only reason why it was popular at that time compared to Facebook was because you could customize your profile. That's it. But Facebook originally was, you know, the same thing with like MySpace, but through time they started adding videos, they started adding new things, then mobile and so on. So I just don't, there's no way Facebook is going down. They have way too many people there, man. Way too many users that still to this day have profiles there, man.
Oh, people said the same thing about MySpace as well. And as we can see, you know, no social media platform is bulletproof.
Yeah. That's my point. That's all I'm saying.
And especially now with all the negative connotation that Facebook is getting, whether it be through the politics and, you know, the Cambridge, you know, Analytica or whatever, all of those different things, there's been a lot of negative light being shown on Facebook. Not to say that they're going to be, you know, what's, you know, not saying that they're going away. I don't even know if I could say that, yeah, they're going away, because everybody pretty much, with the exception of Paris, checks their Facebook daily.
yeah.
But let's keep the target conversation on YouTube gaming. I don't think it was a bad idea. I think innovation is important. And as we've said, you don't know how well you're going to do until you at least try it. Mm-hmm. Apparently that move did amazingly well, because they broke a new record for most concurrent views on its platform for people watching Twitch at any given point in time. Since they started going into the gaming since they started doing that / gaming stuff. So it's not a total negative. I still go to YouTube on a daily basis to get some of my video to get video stuff that I want to watch, whether it be video games, whether it be for comic books, whether it be for music, whether it be for, you know, podcast, you know, stuff like that. It's not a bad thing. I think it was good that they explored the avenue that they went. I'm glad that they recognized that it wasn't going to work, and instead of forcing the issue, they course corrected and said, you know what, let's just clean it up, let's bring it all back into the mothership, and we'll just give you / gaming as opposed to just going to YouTube gaming or gaming.youtube.com or whatever it was called. So
yep.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, you know, more power to them for actually admitting and accepting their fault or their criticisms and correcting, and hopefully we'll see it improve and get better for all content creators and viewers.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Paris, quick question, man. You already signed up for Nintendo Switch Online yet or no?
Not yet. I'll wait for Mario 3.
Mario 3 is available.
I thought it wasn't until October. It's already out.
No, that's what I thought. I
guess you were my source. So there you go. Tell on yourself. That's why I didn't. And right. I told you this already that it wasn't.
No, that's what I thought. I thought originally it was coming out in October, but no, it's the right now there's like a bunch of games available. Once you sign up, you could try it out for like 7 days. You do need your credit card in there. If you want to try it out for 7 days for free. After that, I think they charge you like $3.99 automatically. What I did, I went on last night, did a quick update, went to the store, downloaded the Nintendo Switch Online app, downloaded it. From there, I subscribed for the whole year, $20. Super easy. It was really easy to do. Once that happens, then you go to the app, and there's like a bunch of NES games there that you could play solo, you could play two players locally, or you could play online with a friend. It's not that you play with randoms. It's only with a friend. I did play Tecmo Ball, Mario Brothers 3, the original Mario Brothers. So Double Dragon, old school game. What else?
Pro Wrestling.
Pro Wrestling, I played that too last night. I played that. Gradius, Dr. Mario. Yep, Gradius, Yoshi. I played that. Mm-hmm.
Ice Climber, Ghosts and Goblins, Excitebike, Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers. See, Excitebike and Pro Wrestling probably be the only two titles that I'd go in and play.
Yeah. I mean, yo, $20 is not that bad. I downloaded that, started playing all these games. I think I slept like at 1:30 last night just playing the old school games and so on. So I also tried to play with other friends, and some of them had it private, so I couldn't play with them online, but probably do that today. Now
maybe
there's more people.
Maybe they didn't want you to play with you.
Subscribe. No, it's not possible. But I did that. Also, I back up all my save games to the cloud, which is really cool. Super easy. You go highlight the game that you want, select it, and just upload it to the cloud, man. I did it to a bunch of games. I did it more to like the important ones, like Zelda, Mario Odyssey, you know, Mario Kart, games like that. I uploaded all to my cloud. Super easy so far. The only thing that I still to this day I hate it is the whole Nintendo Switch app where you do the voice chat through your phone or you could use your tablet. I'm totally against that. I'd rather just use Discord or just play online with no voice chat. I think it's fine. I think there's a lot of potential with this service. Now, I wish there was a way for us to send messages to like our friends, similar to like PSN and Xbox Live. But look, as Nintendo, I think it's okay because it's only $20. I'm okay with it. And also, by the way, every month they're gonna have three new games for free every time. As long as you're a subscriber, you keep all these games. So I know next month three more is coming out. I think Ninja Gaiden, which is the one that I really want to play again, is coming out
in December.
Yeah, next month. So what is it that comes out next month?
Next month is Solomon's Key, NES Open Tournament Golf, and Super Dodgeball.
Super Dodgeball.
And then
don't care about none of
November
those.
Is Metroid, the original, Tecmo's Mighty classic. Bomb Jack, and Twin B. Mm-hmm. And then we have Wario Woods, Ninja Gaiden, and Adventures of Lolo in December. So question, because I know we talked about this on the last show, and there was a concern about saving your games in the cloud. And if for whatever reason you don't renew, you lose your saves. Is that forced that you have to save it to the cloud, or is that optional?
No, that's optional. That's optional. But, you know, I don't want to lose all my content. I've been working hard, you know, so I have up to a year. And I have to remember that the end of the year, I mean, it's not right now, it's signed up as automatically, but I think based on the feedback, Nintendo can make that change, like maybe keep it there for a couple more weeks or like a month or so. Because imagine I totally forgot, it's been a year, my credit card, let's say, gets stolen, I get a brand new card, totally forgot to add that card to my account. And then next year, they try to charge me and this just suspend my account. I'm going to lose all that stuff if they don't make that change.
Exactly.
Which is not fair. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have that issue, man. You know, probably going to have different reasons why. But right now is a great time to send your feedback to Nintendo of America so they could also send that feedback to Japan, because Nintendo Japan is the one that actually in charge of all of this, man. You know, so send your feedback, man. I think instead of us complaining and screaming, that's not going to help. But send your honest feedback on how they can make the service better. So, but I think it's cool. I think it's pretty cool, and I see a lot of potential with it, man. This could be like the service of like kind of like Game Pass, kind of like that. They could do that with Nintendo, man, for Nintendo Switch. You know. So, Paris, you have any questions?
No, I mean, you said it perfectly. You know, people have to voice their opinion. I mean, do it respectfully so that Nintendo actually listens and, you know, get those kind of things fixed.
So Paris, are you going to go get Nintendo Online right after the show?
I don't know.
It's Super Mario Brothers 3, dude. It's Super Mario
3. I mean,
3,
that's
your favorite.
That's why I would want to get it. But then I listen to...
And it's free.
But then I listen to you talk about that and makes me pause. So we'll see. I probably... It's 20
it's
bucks.
Only 20
I'm
bucks.
Gonna get it.
Yeah.
I'll get it. It's 20 bucks.
Yeah. It's not that bad. If you play Mario Kart and you have the Nintendo Switch app on your phone on, you could also play and has voice chat with other people too, like randoms. It doesn't have to only be friends. So that's pretty cool. I haven't tried it out yet. I'll probably try it out later just to test it out, but... I think that's awesome. That's cool. See the potential there, man. So yeah, check it out. Add me Godfrey if you guys can. Add me Godfrey or or just hit me up and I'll send you my friend code, whatever is easier. All right, so another game too that just came out, I believe yesterday, Transference. This is originally a VR game, but it's also available for consoles that don't have doesn't have VR. So it's like PlayStation 4, or you could play the VR version, PC, also Xbox One. So I play the Xbox One version. And I know you guys have you guys tried it during E3?
I did not.
You did not? Okay, Pete did, I think. Did you, Pete?
I did it at pre-Gamescom last year.
Okay.
With the VR headset.
Now, the game is scary as hell. I don't want to say much about the story. All I will say is that you're going to be in this apartment. A lot of things going on. A lot of things with the family. Not going to say much about the story, but there's moments in the game where you have to switch with there's going to be a light switch inside of the apartment where it could help you to go either to the past. So there's going to be moments that maybe there's an area that's missing like a doorknob or it's missing like a phone or clock or something that you need to go to the past. Get that item, bring it with you to the future, put it there to the area where it's missing, and you will see things that maybe you would discover, new videos, you will hear voices that tell you other hints of like, there's a lot of puzzles in this game. Now, there was only one puzzle that I was very frustrated because I couldn't really figure it out, but then eventually I found out what to do in that. But overall, very scary game. I had a blast with this. You will finish this within an hour. I know people might say, damn, that game is really short. Now, this game was meant for VR. I think for that amount of time of gameplay, I think is perfect because you don't want to have a game that's like 30 hours long VR, because to me, I don't know about you guys, but I can't play VR for that long. I get extremely dizzy. Like I get sick playing and nauseous. So I think it was cool that they have this game for like an hour gameplay time, you know? So I think it took me like an hour and 30 minutes because that one puzzle, it took me forever to figure it out. But overall, it was good, man. Scary game. I highly recommend for you to, if you buy this game, make sure to play it with your lights off. So, and wear some pretty cool headset so you could enjoy the experience, you know? So it's really cool, man. P, Powers, you guys have any questions or?
You only have one level or playing it outside of VR?
One level? No, there was, there's cases that you go outside too. It's not only one area the whole time. The majority of the time you're going to be in that apartment though. But remember, there's also cases that you probably will go in that apartment to the basement. You probably will go like outside. And actually in the beginning of the game, as soon as you turn it on, you start off outside and you're walking inside to the apartment. So even outside is freaking creepy. You know, so... Really cool, man.
No, no, just for 25, what is it, $25, $30? I find it difficult for a 1 hour experience to pay $25.
Yeah, but I mean, I like games like this, short and sweet, like Layers of Fear, that's also first person. I like those type of experience because sometimes I might not even have time to play a 40-hour game. Maybe I'm doing that with maybe a game like Destiny that now I'm coming back and I'm playing it here and there, you know, casually playing some like multiplayer. But sometimes I like those short games that, yo, quick and go, man. I play it for 1 hour or I could play with friends and family together. And that's it. We finish it. Okay, we move on. That's it. To the next game. To me, sometimes it's okay with that. In my opinion. Some people might only like the 40-hour games, but yeah.
Do you see yourself going back and playing this again after you've played it once?
The only reason why...
Is there a replayability factor to it, is what I'm basically getting to.
There is the reason why I would like to go back, because there's a lot of items that I missed out, and I want to get videos that I forgot to like go to the certain area to get it. Because the thing is, you will find VHS tapes, or you will find tapes that will unlock videos that you will get to know more about the story of the different characters and stuff. So that's the only reason why I will go back to that. Is this a perfect game? No, but overall, I think there was more positive than negatives. The only negative to me is that I can't play this in VR. I get extremely dizzy and nauseous. And this happened to me when I played at E3. I got super sick playing it, but I had fun. So when I asked them, is this also going to be available for consoles? And they said yes. I'm like, oh, that's it. That's it. I'm going to play it for consoles. Forget about VR. I'm cool with it. So, and I know Elijah Wood also was involved with this too, man.
Right. The company that partnered with Ubisoft is called Spectre Vision. He owns the it's a film production company. This is their first experience with doing video game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Movies. We watch a lot of movies. A movie experience, it's only one time. You get to see it. It's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, and you're done with it, right? So I see why they made this game for like an hour, is to get that type of experience, like kind of like a movie, short and sweet, and you move on. That's how I see it. And I don't, sometimes depending on the one, the price, and also the experience, if it's short and sweet, I think I'm okay with that. So I don't know if you guys agree with me or disagree. Like, just want to know?
No, I don't know. I just don't know. Okay. I just don't know if I'd spend $30 on the title. I'm just not interested in it. Okay. I mean, I had fun with it that one time, mm-hmm. but replayability factor is a concern with me, especially for a $30 price.
And that's fine. That's fine. Look, I'll give you a perfect example before I go to the next topic. A perfect example. They sent me the Steam Machine, right, a couple years ago. And it was close to like Halloween. I wanted to play games, a scary game. So I found Layers of Fear. And I paid for it. Same price. It was like 20 something bucks, something like $19.99, I think it was. I can't remember exactly. I downloaded it. The game is super short. I finished it within an hour. And I was like, wow, that was an experience. And I also got it again for the Nintendo Switch and also for the Xbox, because I just love those type of games, those scary first-person view games. Like, I just love that, man. So I had a great time.
So you already listened to my review of Transference, but guess what? I have a free Xbox One code for you, the listener. And here it is, PPTW2K7VGD P3R2Y DCV7T2W7VZ. Enjoy the free game, guys.
Dead Rising Studio, Capcom Vancouver, got shut down, man, out of nowhere. Damn. The last game that I played was the Dead Rising that came out a couple of years ago. Now, I think it was a decent game. It wasn't super great, but I had a blast with it. What are your thoughts about this, man? Because Capcom lately has been doing great in Japan. They're doing some awesome things now with their games. But I can see why they shut it down. They really didn't need the studio anymore, man, if they just focus on their games in Japan. Your thoughts about that?
Sign of the times, unfortunately. It's business. If the titles coming out of there weren't profitable, then it's going to go away. I mean, it's really that simple. If they were, it wouldn't.
Mm. And you, Pete?
Not surprised, but it is a concern when studios close. I don't know if Dead Rising was the success it was, you know, I don't know if they hit their goals or their numbers, but is it concerning? Yes, but hopefully, you know, the engineers, the developers, the artists, and everybody are able to find work elsewhere. Because, I mean, some of the games that they did work on were good. And
which ones, in your opinion?
Didn't they work on any of the Street Fighter games, or was it just Dead Rising?
I know they had a deal with Microsoft to work on Dead Rising
yes.
3 and 4,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm. Yes.
But I know Microsoft also put a lot of money into funding that game too. So that's the only ones I can remember, unless there's other ones. I don't think they worked on mobile games too in Vancouver. I think so. Not 100% sure, but it just sucks, man, hearing this, man, because there's a lot of talented people that probably was like passionate working on their games, because they were working on some stuff there, and it got completely canceled now because they shut down the studio. So that kind of sucks. You know, I would like to see the next Dead Rising game, because I think it was a cool franchise, in my opinion. So, anything else, guys? Anything else? Any other topics?
No, I think that's all that's been going on this week. Yeah, it's an interesting time with gaming. All these games coming out, so. You know, Forza Horizon 4 will be out pretty soon. Assassin's Creed Odyssey will be out pretty soon. Obviously, Call of Duty, Red Dead, on and on. Oh, there was one interesting thing. Uncle Pete, old Pete Hines over at Bethesda, did confirm that Wolfenstein 3 will be a Wolfenstein 3, because there was actually some a little speculation that maybe there wouldn't be, because Machine Games is going to kind of start focusing on the Youngblood part of the Wolfenstein world, but they will do a Wolfenstein 3 proper. And with, I never say their name right, Arcane Games, right? That's the other studio under them. Anyways, yes. They're the guys that made Dishonored 2. And it kind of sounds like Dishonored's going on a break, but then Pete Hines was like, don't necessarily believe that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Dishonored, which I also think that sequel was another victim of coming out during the holiday when it shouldn't have. If they'd have put that game out in the spring or, you know, late summer, early fall, I think it would have had a lot more success. But it came out right in the middle of the whole Call of Duty, Battlefield, Titanfall, all that stuff. And it just got lost in a shuffle, unfortunately. Which, by the way, I think might happen to Fallout 76 this year too. Just putting it out there.
When that game comes out, is that November or October?
It's November. It's right after Red Dead.
So, right after Red Dead. Huh. And also, is it before Battlefield?
Yes, it's before Battlefield.
So, wow, they're going to be in between Black Ops, Red Dead, Assassin's Creed, and Battlefield. That's a lot of games, man.
Yeah.
But there's going to be fans that are just going to buy it just because it's Fallout. They don't care about Red Dead and... I'm serious, man. They don't care about those violence games. They'd rather prefer to play some RPG, especially online. I can see that too, man.
Yeah, but this isn't a traditional Fallout game, since they're kind of pushing the whole online aspect. That's why they're doing the beta and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I just don't think Fallout 76 is going to be the big hit that Bethesda wants it to be. Just my two cents. Oh, and another thing, because I'm going to keep harping on this until the game comes out. US Gamer had an article where they spoke to some of the Anthem people when they had their panel at PAX. And they use a whole lot of words to say a whole lot of nothing, in my opinion. I still don't know what this game is. I still don't. I'm telling you right now, it just screams they're rushing to get to February 22nd. They don't have a game. And in this article, they even further enhance the fact that this is not a PvP game. There's no PvP aspect because they actually touted that they don't have PvP because that's going to allow them to better balance the weapons as if that's a good thing. I'm telling you, I am firmly on the, just like I said with these damn card 2080 cards, and I say with Mass Effect, I am firmly on the, this game ain't going to be right. It's not. I'm telling you right now, it is not going to be.
I have something to say about that, Paris. Now,
oh boy, here we go.
Now, look. Does a game like that has to have PvP?
Yes. Yes, it does.
No.
Yes, it does. Okay. All right.
Does it need end game?
He shouts me down when he asks me.
Wait. Does it need an end game? Yes.
Yes.
100%. More than PvP, in my opinion.
Here's the thing. Even with Destiny 2, Forsaken, all this endgame, it's amazing. There will be a point in time where we will have done everything in that endgame, and it's going to be slow waiting for the next content drop. Guess what fills the gap during that content drop?
PvP.
PvP. Same with the Division. So Anthem ain't going to have that. It's going to be freaking crickets and dust bowls. I'm telling you. I have no faith in this game. Zero. I'm going on record and saying that. I have zero faith that Anthem is going to be a good game.
You know why? Fantasy Star Online and even Monster Hunter. There's no PvP, but there's a lot of freaking content in those games. So if there's... content?
Different games.
No, because Anthem to me is more like Monster Hunter. It's not like Destiny.
I don't know. I see a lot of similarities in Monster Hunter with Anthem. The only difference being you're coming in with monster mechs as opposed to you're running around with a sword and a bow and arrow. So I think a game like Anthem can scratch that itch of a Monster Hunter type game. But it gets old really, really quickly unless you like and you enjoy those long style grindy type missions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not even on the fence. I'm just going to sit back and watch the dumpster fire just continue to burn.
I'm telling you.
They need to show us something. Oh. They really do.
Man. All right. If they have, let's say they show you the roadmap before the game comes out. Look, this is what we're going to have every month. Nonstop content every month. Will you be okay with that? Is that enough?
Yes, because that's what's missing. This is the point I'm trying to make to you.
But you're bringing up PvP.
Okay. I'm going to do it this way. We've only known about the Division since May, right? Really, they announced it in May, and then they showed what they showed at E3. That's really all we've gotten from the Division 2, right? And in just that little bit of time, they've shown quadruple of what Anthem has shown in freaking 3 years.
But they've been around. Massive been around now. They already experienced with the last Division.
Exactly. I think that goes back to my point again. Look, I don't even know why I get so passionate about it. I just like whatever. But I think it annoys me that EA and BioWare seems to think they got something so great on their hands when it is clear as freaking day that they don't. And every time they get a developer actually talking about the game, they ain't got nothing to say. They talk a lot, whole bunch of talking, blip, 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 blip. But there's actually no information coming out. None. Oh my God. You know why I'm mad? You know I'm mad? Because I went to that EA Play and I stood up for freaking 2 hours to get to that damn Anthem part. And it was Casey and all of them sitting around like it was a fireside chat and they showing screenshots. I was mad. I go, this is ridiculous. Where is this game? Where is it? And I know there was behind the screen.
Command and Conquer.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever been so angry at a press conference in my life. That was the worst press conference in the history of E3. In the history of it. I'm joking, obviously. But it's up there. The point is, I was mad. I'm just saying this because obviously you know how much I love Destiny. I've been riding with that game since 2014. I am recently on the Division wagon, so I'm all in for the Division 2 as well. I see greatness. Look, Forsaken has shown me that Bungie still knows what the hell they're doing, because Forsaken is fantastic for Destiny 2, without a doubt. I will say that hands down. The little bit we've seen of the Division 2, that little sliver we got to play, has me super excited for what the potential of that can be, because I see what the Division 1 is right now. But then I look at Anthem, it is a shell. It does not even compare to those two games. And I'm sorry, I don't care what EA says, that's your competition. Those are the people that you're trying to get to play your game. And I'm telling you right now, someone like me, I'm going to pick that damn game up on the 22nd of February. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to play it first couple of days. I'm like, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right. And then about 2 weeks later, I'm going to go, damn, ain't nothing to do. I've done all this already. What do you mean I can't shoot Pete? I want to shoot Pete. I want to do something. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to want to do some kind of PvP thing, and it's not going to be there. I'm going to be running the same stupid mission all over again to get a pink gun. It's going to be the Division 1 all over again. I'm telling you right now. I'm calling it. I know it.
Yo, I can't believe you brought up the pink gun.
Oh, my God. Hey, Pete knows. Pete was sitting right there with me.
Let me ask you this.
When you, okay, this, I'm talking about the Division, the first Division interview, which you can listen to it. It's in the backlog.
Oh, I went back and listened to it too, by the way. Oh my God.
All right. So what exactly you asked him that.
Exactly what I'm saying right now. I said, so, you know, we're do whatever. And I was like, so with the end game, I go, what, you know, what are going to be some of the higher end, you know, weapons of gear that you'll chase in the dark zone in endgame? And then he kind of stumbled on it. Like, I could see the panic in his eyes. Right. And he stumbled on it and he said, a pink gun. Well, you know, you could get like different guns, like a pink gun and all that. And Pete can tell you my expression. My eyes glazed over and I tapped out right there. I was like, I'm not playing this game. I'm out. I'm out. Oh my God.
But you know what it is? I think that usually when we go to these events, a lot of journalists ask like the typical questions, and this question is coming out from someone that plays a lot of a game like Destiny. So you guys, Pete, this is when Pete was like a huge fan of Destiny at that time. Mm-hmm. You guys as fans, he was not expecting that question at all. Nope. He was probably like, oh, you know, you do this, do that. You know, typical journalist questions. So when you guys ask that, yo, he panicked you.
When you ask content specific questions from a fan first and a media person second, you get to come in and you come in with a different perspective than what, you know, maybe a game designer and executive producer might have been prepped or ready for. So, you know, when Paris caught him off guard, you know, there was let's put it this way, that bright light in front of him shined a little bit brighter because he was just like,
you see a little sweat going like that.
Because, you know, they're all touting, oh, you'll get to level 30 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, I'm at level 30. Now what? You get a pink gun. I was like,
but
I'm out.
You know what, man? I can't blame them too, man. Cause they're just doing their jobs, man. Even the same thing with BioWare, they're doing their jobs. You know, now behind the scenes, like, damn, man, this is not gonna be enough. Maybe they're saying that behind the scenes. You know what I'm saying? But it's tough, man. It's tough to be in that position, though, man.
You know what I laugh at? Because my E3 this year could have been completely different if I would have talked to this guy back then. Remember when we met Julian Garrity? He's the lead guy for the Division 2 now. And I had mentioned that. I think even in the interview, it comes out and he says that. And he goes, oh, I was at that event. And I was thinking, wow, what if that would have been him at that time? And I said that to him. And then he would have saw me now. He was like, oh, this dude? Oh, I ain't talking to him. He tried to clown me.
But you see how happy he was? Look, man, you could tell. But look, man, this is why I brought up the Assassin's Creed Odyssey interview, because, yo, sometimes you could tell when a person is like excited about their game that they've been working on for a couple of years. Dude, when we interviewed Julian, yo, he didn't want to stop the interview. He wanted to continue. The only reason he stopped is because of PR.
But that was confidence. That's confidence, though.
That's confidence. Yeah. That's confidence. Yeah. Yeah.
That's I know we got something good, and I would love to tell you more, but PR won't let me. That's what that was. You know, like I said, that look, from the second we sat down, they kicked off that presentation. Oh, we got an 8-man raid. I'm like, we're like, what?
No. First they started Endgame, and within seconds, 8-player raid. We were like, yo, I looked at Pete, I looked at Paris. I was like, yo, they're not they're not messing around right now, man. They're not messing around. Holy crap. But see, that's what I think BioWare should have done at their press conference at E3, because behind the scenes, their journalists and the content creator, they got to play it. Oh, man, the game is fun. But us, that we watched the stream and you that were standing there for 2 hours, just standing there, you didn't get that excitement. You were frustrated just to go in. Frustrated that they show Command & Conquer Mobile.
Oh, my God.
It's just, yo, it's the environment, man. It's the environment. Well, and I think they should have had that game playable for everybody that went to the event instead of, only certain people could play the game.
It's not even that. See, it's not even that. I get if they had a behind-closed-door thing, they were selective on the people going, all that kind of stuff. You know, we were supposed to get in. There was some mix-up. Whatever. That's fine. I don't even care about that. My thing is, where is the general excitement from the community for this game? All it is a bunch of questions. Everybody has questions. Everyone's confused. They show that demo that they show behind closed doors. The video is out now. Everyone can watch it. Sorry, I watched it. I didn't get excited for it because I know it looked more like a tech demo than, oh, wow, this is exciting action. I can't wait to actually pick up the controller and do this myself. I didn't get that feeling. That's just me. And maybe, you know, that's my Destiny bias. I don't know, but I'm just being honest. I don't have excitement for this game. They're not giving me information to get me excited about it. And we're almost to October now. Think about it. We're almost to October. October, November, December, January. That's 4 months, and then you got to go gold. Four.
Yeah.
And they've not talked about any type of end game, any type of roadmap. They've already said PvP ain't happening. Look, I'm probably the biggest Anthem hater in freaking podcasting right now, but I'm saying it because I want it to be great, and it's not going to be. This is Mass Effect Andromeda all over again. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, boy, man. Oof. That's that. Oof. That's that. You're going low, man. That's low, dude.
But this is what I'm
seeing.
Same
studio. I mean.
Yeah, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing everything is a whisper and in the shadows and, oh, we can't loud and proud talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, here's the difference. When Bungie knew that they were screwing up last year, they went into the shadows with the whispers and all that. But then when they got confident that, oh, we know we got something coming with Forsaken, they didn't shut up about it all summer. All summer they're talking about videos everywhere. Gambit was playable every damn place. All that
fighting
stuff.
People over and
exactly.
Yeah,
live streams and on Twitch.
They invited the community to the studio for them to check out the expansion before anybody else. Do you think, before we wrap it up, do you think that BioWare should invite people or maybe have an event? Big event where content creators and journalists could be there and try out the game. Do you think that's going to be enough?
Because I'll say two things without getting myself in trouble. Massive did something very similar with the original Division. That's how they fixed the Division. They invited the top people to the community out to the studio and got the real feedback, similar to what Bungie did. So Bungie wasn't the first to do it. Second one, a little birdie may or may not have told me that they've been to BioWare and they played Anthem for that very same reason. And I will leave it at that. I will not give what their opinion is or what they said, but they went. So BioWare is doing it, just not on a public scale to let everyone know. That's all.
I think a smart studio would. I mean, if they're opening themselves up to a large potential for failure by not bringing in, I don't want to say just blanket community, but people that are, you know, gamers that are well versed in a style of game that Anthem is trying to push out as.
And I'll say this one last thing, and I promise I'll shut up about Anthem probably until next week. I know.
All right. Anthem hater.
They've missed all the big, what do you call it, conferences or events. I mean, E3 basically was a no-show. PAX, basically a no-show. Gamescom, basically a no-show. It's not going to be at TwitchCon. PlayStation Experience? Maybe. I guess it's Tokyo Game Show.
It's an Xbox marketing.
It's Xbox marketing. So nope on that.
Video game awards?
But that's not like a hands, you know, that's a commercial again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They're not going to get up and actually, here's the roadmap for Anthem. Here's what we're doing. You know, so that's not going to happen. Tokyo Game Show is no show there. So they're literally going to get to February 22nd and there's not going to be any bit unless they're going to do a standalone reveal event, which EA is not necessarily known for doing. It's Mass Effect Andromeda. It's Mass Effect Andromeda 2.
All right. What are your thoughts, guys? Hit us up.
I love how we spent the last 20 minutes talking about this, but I don't care. Be mad at me. I'm just telling you, this game's going to stink. I'm just calling it right now. I shouldn't say stink.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's not going to live up to the hype that it should. And that, to me, is very disappointing.
Look, my advice, Bioware, invite content creators that are fans of Destiny and Monster Hunter. Invite them so they could play the game closer to the release of the game. And let them release videos, man, and feedback and everything. I think that, to me, will work a little bit for like the hardcore fans, and also separate have also the journalists too. From different sites, to invite them to the studio, man. Because look, every person I've spoken to about the ones that played Anthem, like I know Jensen Schreier mentioned this, Brittany from What's Good Games, a couple other people, man, they said that the game is actually fun. So I don't know. I'm like in the middle in a way. I think it'll be good, but at the same time, I'm just kind of afraid of like the way they've been communicating and marketing this game so far. It's been kind of bleh, you know, so I don't know. I'm in the middle, man. In the middle about that. So all right, so let's wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagwarrior.com, post some comments and feedback, and make sure to listen to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. And send us emails, call us. We'll play on the show on the next episode of GTR. Anything else, guys?
Nope. I'm sure I'm going to get enough angry tweets as it is, so I don't.
Vicious 696. He has a blue check mark. Make sure to go to Vicious 696. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.